Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our Royal Rumble review edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing last night's Royal Rumble at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, your opinions there as well. There's so much to talk about. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad. Some of it I'm going to scream about. Some of it I'm going to cheer about. So let's get right to it. First, let's get to the pre-show. For whatever reason, well, I know what the reason is, and I'm about to tell you. The WWE decided we're going to give you a bonus match, and the bonus match is going to be Rezar. From the AOP, since Akam is injured, and a member of the Revival versus the Raw Tag Team Champions. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, this is good. You know, you get the champions on the show. Yeah, and that's exactly why they did it. The WWE heard grumble, 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 why aren't the Tag Team Champions on the show? And they said, yeah, I guess we better put them in there. There was no other reason, folks. If you don't believe me, by the way, the WWE is in full panic mode. So for all of the gurus of the internet, all of the people saying AEW and that like is not going to hurt the WWE. They're not going to change one single thing. They are scrambling like cockroaches when the lights come on. Trust me. And this is just one example. They had no intention of doing anything with that match. The reason they did it is they wanted to keep the tag team champions happy, and they wanted to keep the fans from saying, oh, you didn't even feature your tag team champions. The Revival had said, oh, you don't feature your tag team champions on your TV show. The division doesn't mean anything. Suddenly, well, we've come up with an idea. You don't believe me? Well, let's look at the outcome, shall we? If this was a long-term plan to do something, which I thought it was. I thought, well, obviously the tag team champions are going to lose, and then there's going to be a dispute. Who really won the match? The guy from the AOP, the guy from the Revival, who really deserves the title match? There's going to be a big feud between that, and there's where your storyline's going to come across. No, they lost. They couldn't get along, so they lost. So where's the story there? There is no story. There was never intended to be a story. It was intended to say, don't say we didn't feature our tag team champions on the show. I'm not even going to waste any time talking about this match. It aggravated me to the point where I was in a bad mood. Because I know exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to appease the tag teams, and they were trying to appease the fans who were criticizing them for not featuring the tag team champions. You could have made a storyline out of this and a good one. Who did the most to win the match? The AOP side, were they the ones who dominated? The Revival side, who deserves the tag team championship shot? The reason they couldn't do that, obviously, with Akam injured, but they could have strung that along. Akam's not going to be injured forever. You could have got something out of it. How about you could have even gotten this? You could have even gotten, well, Akam is injured, and those guys got along really well. And suddenly the other guy in the Revival is being left out of the picture, and they're saying, maybe we'll just go for the tag team titles. We did beat them. That would have been interesting. One member of AOP, one member of the Revival, reluctantly teaming up for a tag team title shot. Would have been cool. You would have had some story there. Now, we don't have time for that. We just wanted to show you their faces. So I'm not even going to discuss it. So we're going to move on to the U.S. title. And once again, the cockroaches scramble when the lights come on, don't they? If anyone within the sound of my voice can tell me a good reason why you would take the belt off of Shinsuke Nakamura just to put it right directly back on him, speak right up. he was taken away from the belt for what reason? Anybody? No, there is no reason. If you were going to hand that back, the belt back directly to Shinsuke Nakamura, there's no reason to lose it. Zero reason to lose it. That was done to appease the fans. Oh, we gave Rusev the belt. You like Rusev, remember? And we handed him the belt. Remember that. Oh, by the way, Shinsuke Nakamura's contract's coming up. We better get a belt on him. Is this how booking's going to be done now? Fear? Placating? By the way, in doing so, I realized that you had to do the Lana spot because that's going to feature into the Royal Rumble later. I get it. That spot still could have been done. Still could have been done. People who are telling me, well, they had to do it, Marcus, because look what happened with Lana later on. Lana could have took that bump and Rusev still could have won. And then they would have said, well, she sacrificed herself and her own chances for her husband. So please, don't hand me that. The WWE said, uh-oh. Got to keep Shinsuke happy. Give him a belt. And I don't even think that's going to keep Shinsuke happy because I don't think he's that type of guy. You didn't do anything with him the first time. He had the U.S. belt. Nobody even knew it. He was absent from TV. Any of his matches he did have were set up for Randy Orton to come in and interfere against his opponent. There was nothing going on with Shinsuke Nakamura as U.S. champion. Now all of a sudden the lights come on and you say, oh, I think we could use Shinsuke Nakamura. Let's give him the belt back after we just barely got finished taking it away from him. It's not that the match was bad. It's that the booking has just left me pounding my head into my coffee table saying, what is the bloody point of this? It just makes Rusev look like an ineffectual champion, and it makes it look like Lana at ringside is not a plus. It's a distraction, and I don't think that's what the fans want, Mike.
That's not what the fans want, and that's the thing. And look, here's something else they know. They know that Nakamura can go write his own ticket anywhere he goes. You know, they know that, and that's another reason why they're scrambling like cockroaches, because they don't want to lose Nakamura. I don't think they want to lose him. You know?
Of course they don't, and that's exactly my point. Booking is now being done with how do we placate these people so that they'll feel like they're important and that we really do seriously want to use them. Let's just reverse what we did 2 weeks ago and or 3 weeks ago and take the belt off of Rusev. Who's got the longer contract? Whoever's got the longer contract, we can treat like garbage. Whose contract's coming up? We better placate them. This is ridiculous. It's a shocking win. It's not that I don't think Shinsuke Nakamura deserves the belt. Of course he does. And I was the one who said he would have made a great U.S. champion if you really bore down with him and doubled down and got him into major feuds where he could really show his heel chops. Well, then what was the point of taking the belt off him? Just start using him if that's what you wanted to do. Match he had with Rusev, and Rusev loses due to that reason. Then you say, well, they protected Rusev. He lost, but he lost with a distraction. He might have been the champion. But no, he is the champion. You've already taken the belt off him. There's no reason in God's green earth to hand that belt back to Shinsuke Nakamura other than to try to placate him to not go anywhere else. Todd, the match was okay, but I did not like the booking at all.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it sounds like they're doing favoritism out of the superstars. They're showing more favoritism with Nakamura over Rusev, and Rusev has been in the WWE longer than Nakamura is.
Yeah, and I thought, well, you know, we're going to give the fans what they want, and you guys are now the authority. Are you kidding me? So they're 0-2 as far as I'm concerned with booking. It's not that the matches were bad. I'm not blaming any of the guys in the matches. The booking is just terrible. We then get to the four-way for the 205 Live Cruiserweight. I'm glad that, you know, I was kind of taken off guard that they would put that match last on the pre-show. I thought it would be Rusev and Nakamura. But now I see why. Because they knew these guys would really warm up the crowd and get the, you know, a great match, and it was a great match. It was a great match, and they did the right things in this match. They teased Hideo Itami going over several times. To the point where I said, yeah, he is going to go over, which, you know, is okay with me, except I think Buddy Murphy's a really good champion. But at the end, Murphy retains. I think they did the right thing. I think it was an excellent match from start to finish, and it really highlighted some of the 205 Live guys, and it showed you how you can get some ring psychology in there amidst the flippity-floppity moves that some people, such as myself, have been saying doesn't make up for lack of psychology. Of course it doesn't. But you can get them in there. So, Mike, this one was a good way, I guess, to end the pre-show and launch into the main show because it was an excellent match.
I enjoyed it. You know, it was a fun match. And look, we've said it about Buddy Murphy before, you know, that you could lie about his weight and put him up on the big. In fact, I'm surprised that he wasn't one of the ones that was in the Royal Rumble, because you could absolutely have done that. You know, that guy. I mean, his look. You look at him and you say, yeah, he's 210, 215 pounds, you know?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is Corey Graves actually brought it up and said, are you sure Buddy Murphy's 205? He looks like he's 225. And I guess that's my point, is that he does look like a champion in there. He's very, very good at what he does. I think if you're going to have a long-term champion, you could pick a lot worse people to make a long-term champion than Buddy Murphy. So we launch into the main show, and the first match up, to my surprise, is Becky Lynch versus Asuka. Now, here's what I was happy about. I didn't want any of the Royal Rumble matches prior to who the champions were going to be, because then you could kind of figure out who's going to win the title match maybe, or the Royal Rumble maybe. So I'm glad they didn't do that. So Becky Lynch versus Asuka is a stellar match, probably the best match of the night. And by the way, the ladies owned this Royal Rumble. The best matches of the night were all performed by the female workers. Period. Other than maybe the 205 Live match, but that didn't hold as much wait. Becky Lynch and Asuka tore that place up. It was absolutely everything you want from a woman's match, except the mind-bogglingly stupid decision to have Becky Lynch tap clean. I don't know where you're coming from with this, especially given what happens later. The one thing you don't want, remember when Stone Cold Steve Austin was tearing things up and everybody was like, man, he's going to be big and huge. He didn't tap to Bret Hart. He just passed out. They would not give him that discredit that he would actually tap. He said, nope, I'll stay in this till I pass the F out. They don't give that credit to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch taps out. And for the top person, the top face, really, in your company, especially in the female division, but I could argue it all overall, to tap clean to Asuka, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. At all. There are many ways you could have finished that match. If you wanted Asuka to remain the champion, there are many ways you could have finished that match. Tapping clean is probably the least on my list of ways to finish it. Because what does it do? It undermines her credibility. Think about all the top stars coming up through the ages. Did The Undertaker tap out? Did Stone Cold Steve Austin tap out? None of these guys tapped out. they presented them as these hard ass guys that would rather pass out than tap out. We're not going to do this. If they were going to lose, they'd lose in a way that was like, okay, well, they lost, but that was sketchy. Not Becky Lynch. Oh, you're all here to see Becky Lynch. You're all here to see a great, you know, victory by Becky Lynch. Well, we're going to have her tap out first and we'll give you something later. Well, the something later meant a whole lot less because of what you did earlier. And I'll get to that when I get to it. But Mike, this was weird to say the least, weird booking.
Yeah, it was weird booking. I mean, you're not giving them, again, you're not giving them the respect they deserve. The respect should have been you let her pass out from it. That's the respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maniac in the chat room is saying the same thing. We're all in agreement. You got to do the Stone Cold Steve Austin Bret Hart thing. You got to let Becky Lynch pass out. Refuse to give up. Asuka should have kept her in the normal Asuka lock for a while. She was refusing to give up. Then she should have bridged it into that super Asuka lock, and Becky Lynch should have tapped out, Mike. Or not tapped out, passed out. And then at least there would have been some credibility. A little bit of credibility.
Right, and that's the thing. And but in take away the booking, this is probably a match of the year candidate. I mean, I know it's early. I mean, great. It's probably almost just about a 5-star match.
It was one of the better female matches I've seen, and that's why it aggravated me so much. The booking. That's why it aggravated me so much. Because it's not necessary. You had Asuka do that to prepare for what WrestleMania opponent? The only one I could think of is Ronda Rousey, and they wouldn't be fighting. So if you're telling me, well, I'm setting her up for Ronda Rousey, so I wanted to make it very clear that Asuka can make somebody tap, even the toughest people tap, okay. Then I might reluctantly say, okay, you're not setting her up for Ronda Rousey, so there's no point. There is no point to having Becky Lynch tap in that situation. Pass out, yes. And I would have given her more credit than that. I would have had her get to the ropes, Asuka drag her off the ropes, get to the ropes again, Asuka drag her off the ropes. Asuka realized, I can't even make her tap with my normal move. I'm going to have to augment it a little bit and then push up into that super Asuka lock. And she still won't tap. But the referee tries her hand 3 times and says she's out. Becky Lynch deserved in that match. She didn't get it. I'm highly upset about that, Todd, because I think that's a mistake for her character.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Well, like you said about years ago, where Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't tap out or anything, didn't say I quit or submit. All he did was just pass out in the middle of the ring in that sharpshooter he was in.
I agree. And again, if it was going to be Asuka versus Ronda Rousey, I might say okay. Because the idea behind it would have been, well, we have to prove that Asuka can make somebody really, really, really tough tap. So that people think, well, there's a chance that Ronda Rousey might tap to Asuka. Okay. But that's not what's happening. It's not what's happening at all. So what's the point in making Becky Lynch look like she tapped to a person Charlotte Flair beat? Not digging it. Just not digging it at all. Anyway, let's go to The Miz and Shane McMahon taking on The Bar. Now, if you're The Bar, you got to hate the Royal Rumble. Last year, you lost to Braun Strowman and a child. A 10-year-old child. This year, you lost to The Miz and a guy who's a part-time wrestler, and he's 50. Not a good thing for The Bar. And it does undermine their credibility. I understand why they did it. The Miz and Shane are off to a bigger plot line somewhere. I don't know where that's going. My presumption is one's going to turn on the other. It's the only thing I can think of. And I said on yesterday's show, one of two things happens. Either they turn on each other right there in that match, or they win the belts. That's the only two options that the WWE had. They went with the second option. They win the belts. I'm not sure who's next for them. I'm not sure where this is going to lead them. It was a fun little match, but it's, if anything, I think it undermines your tag team division again, because you're saying two guys who basically just teamed up a month ago and, by the way, lost to jobbers a couple of times, just beat your tag team champions. The guys the New Day couldn't beat. The guys the Usos couldn't beat. And I don't know. Does that in some way, in your mind, Mike, undermine the bar?
Yes, it does. And look, I don't know. We know the turn is going to come eventually. Which one is going to turn, I don't know, because we don't know which way they're going to go with The Miz. You know? I mean, they've been having him act like a face. So if this is going to be a face turn for a while, face team for a while, for, you know, for a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, then, I mean, like I said, I've said it often enough that people will know what I'm talking about. You don't really trust a McMahon as a face. All right. So I'm expecting that when the heel turn eventually comes, it's going to be Shane that's going to be doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Look, I understand what the WWE is trying to do. They're trying to add another tag team to the mix over there on SmackDown, which they need. And they're desperately trying to have a little fun with wrestling, which is fine, and do the buddy-buddy story between The Miz and Shane before it all breaks down, which is fine. But it better lead to something good. Because if you're going to undermine the bar like this, then you got to have a reason. Much like if you're going to undermine Becky Lynch, you have to have a reason. Again, if I'm in that production meeting and they say, listen, WrestleMania is going to be Ronda Rousey versus Asuka, so do we have Becky Lynch tap? I would argue, yeah, probably. Because then it does give Asuka all the credit in the world that, wow, she tapped Becky Lynch. If she can tap Becky Lynch, she can tap Ronda Rousey. So there's a purpose for doing that. There's a reason for doing that. If you give Shane and The Miz the belts, because there's going to be a major breakup and Shane and The Miz are going to go at each other at WrestleMania, well, then there's a reason why you did it. So I'm okay with that. But if there is no reason, like the pre-show with one half of AOP and one half of The Revival, there was no reason for that. You put them together to lose. Where's the story? What's the reason? Well, the reason is we need the tag team champions on the show so people don't yell at us. And our tag team division can't say you didn't use the tag team champions. That's the only reason. The Becky Lynch thing, I don't know what the reason is. There is no reason. It was a dumb decision. And The Miz and Shane, well, that remains to be seen. My hope is that they're going to do the breakup just before WrestleMania, and we're going to have, you know, Shane's going to be in WrestleMania in some capacity, and that would probably be the match. I mean, that's what I would think. But if you were going to get there, why did you do this with The Miz? Why did you suddenly make The Miz say, well, you cheated me out of my best in the world trophy in Saudi Arabia, but I know you had my best intentions at heart. So now we're kind of tied to that thing. I have a little part of it too, because you won, but you took my spot. So we're best buddies. I would have went low. I would have had Shane McMahon and The Miz really at each other's throat the night after that. And I would have had Shane McMahon go low and say, hey, Miz, you just remember one thing. The day your daughter was born, practically, you were having your wife pass brass knuckles to beat Daniel Bryan. So when your daughter's old enough and watch what you do in the ring, you think she's going to be proud of that? Or do you think she's going to think her father's a damn coward and a cheater? Because I know what she's going to think. So live with that. Then you could have had The Miz legitimately say, you know, you're right. I can't do that. I want a match on my own. That I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to try to make my daughter proud. He wins. He starts to like it and say, I can do this on my own. And hey, Shane, you're the one who kind of brought this about. So, you know what? You gave me good advice. You're my friend. You're the one who kind of showed me the light. Then we would have had a reason why they're friends. There's no reason why they're friends. He technically took his spot. He should be enemies, especially with the Miz's ego. So the whole thing is based on a house of cards that makes no sense. It would have made sense if that happened, because then the Miz could have said, I didn't. And then when I tried to show Shane McMahon up by saying, I can do this on my own, felt pretty good. Maybe I am better than I think I am. Maybe I don't need these shortcuts. And Shane, you're the one who showed me the path. So let's you and me be tag team, and I bet you we can win the belts without shortcuts. I bet you we can win the belts without blah, blah, blah. Then when they do it, it really is a feel-good moment. And he doesn't have to say, I did it for my father. He could say, I did it for my daughter, which means more. Because to say his father was never proud of him when every show his father's there cheering, it's kind of stupid. To say he's doing it so his daughter can see him later on in her life being honorable and winning fairly makes 100% sense. And then if he does turn on Shane later, boy, does it make him look like a cold heel. Boy, does it make him look like a low life, because he's like, yeah, you tell me how to live. I don't need you to tell me how to live. My daughter's going to be plenty proud of me the way I am. Would have been cool. They don't do that. I don't think they have to. Anyways, let's move on to Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. This match pleasantly surprised me. I still think Ronda Rousey relies too much on arm judo flips that don't look like they hurt, that looks just like practice at a dojo somewhere, but Sasha Banks really turned it on. And there were some very, very good moments in this match. It wasn't as good as Becky Lynch and Asuka, but it was damn close. It was damn close. And there were a few moments in that match where I said, they might let Sasha have this damn thing. They really might. Especially when she kept getting out of Ronda Rousey's arm bar or before she could apply it, get out of it. And when she tapped on the outside to it, I said she's never tapping on the inside to it. That was to show Ronda Rousey can tap people out, and even Sasha Banks, but she did it in the wrong spot. And the minute that happened, I knew what that was for. To underline that arm lock will still tap Sasha out, but she's not tapping to it tonight. So technically you gave Sasha more respect than Becky Lynch, and I wonder why. It's really weird, isn't it? Sasha couldn't tap. Wouldn't tap. At least not when it meant the match. And Becky did. And Ronda was forced to pin Sasha Banks. Now here's the thing that I want people to understand. I'm not the hugest Sasha Banks fan in the world, but one thing she does well, I think she does well, is play her character. And she looked genuinely upset about losing that match and genuinely frustrated and torn between, do I just get up and show proper respect or do I beat her ass? I'm not sure what I want to do. You could almost read in her face, I would rather kick her ass for beating me than shake her hand, but I guess I'm going to have to because it was fair. There was a definite feel of disappointment and in her that I think speaks very well of how well she plays the character. Later on, she did the four horsewoman sign. I guess that's where we're going with some of this eventually. I don't know. Maybe this year's Survivor Series or something. If she sticks around, if Ronda sticks around, maybe she'll come back for that. I don't know. What I do know is this is the second match in a row from the women's division that I would give an A to, Mike.
I would give it an A to as well. And look, like you said, there was times in this match, especially when they were trading each other's finishers, you know, that, damn it, they're going to give it to Sasha. You know, now, we know the history between when Sasha holds the belt and how they treated her, you know, when she has held the belt, but damage you, they're going to give it to her, you know. And that's what they made you think here. And the fact of the matter is, you're right. She has her character down. And look, I look at it like this. It's also them against scurrying because of her comments on Twitter about take me with you, you know.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because Derek in the chat room is saying they, you know, they're trying to appease Sasha maybe. That's probably true. They probably said, look, Sasha, you know you ain't winning. You know you can't win, but we're going to make you look so ridiculously good here. You're not going to tap. You're going to be the first girl that Rhonda has to pin because she can't tap her and all that stuff. And we got bigger plans for you down the road. Basically, they unhandcuffed Sasha Banks last night and said, oh, we know what a great wrestler you are. We respect what you can do, and we're going to show the world that you were, you know, you're Ronda Rousey's equal in many respects. And, yeah, again, some appeasement there. And, again, there's going to be people who call me crazy. There's going to be people say, that's not the reason they did. Well, then you explain to me the reasons. You explain to me the reasons the tag team champions are suddenly on the show when they weren't booked. They're the tag team champions. You explain to me why you took the belt off Shinsuke just to hand it right back to him for no apparent reason. You explain to me why Sasha Banks can't tap like Becky Lynch to a person everyone tapped to. Everyone. Sounds like appeasement to me. And there's more coming, by the way. It's not just this. But we'll get to it when we get to it. All right. So it's time for the Women's Royal Rumble. And let me just get this out of the way right now before I forget. Lacey Evans is not ready to be here. Let's just get that out of the way. Maybe she's nervous. Maybe she's green still. Maybe she needs a little time. But she is as sloppy as I've seen. There were moves that she did last night that I'm like, wow, that's just terrible. I mean, I'm sorry. If you put her in there, number one, to impress us with how long she stayed, it backfired. Because the longer she stayed, the sloppier she got and the worse she looked. Now you bring her in there with Natty. That's to try to make her look as good as possible. I get it. Natty's your veteran. She's going to make her look as good as possible. If she can't look good with Natty, I worry. Anyway, the whole thing with the Rumble, it's hard to really call this whole thing start to finish. I'm not going to do every person that comes in. We're just going to hit certain spots. But the Rumble itself featured a few surprises. We had some NXT girls. They made, I think, Nikki Cross look pretty good for a while. They had that bizarre thing with Maria Kanellis, who, again, appeasement, folks. When's the last time you saw Maria Kanellis in a wrestling ring? Wake up and smell the coffee, folks. Don't be purposely blind. You think they're not appeasing people? When's the last time you saw Maria Kanellis in a match? And don't tell me, well, they needed her. They didn't need her. They could have brought up another NXT girl. And by the way, she was terrible. What the hell was that whole thing? You want to talk about making the women look stupid. Maria Kanellis gets in and says to Alicia Fox, let's you and I just form a team to do this, that, and the other thing. And then they do some weird shit with the hat. And she puts the hat on Maria Kanellis. And then Maria Kanellis, for no reason. There's no reason. Maria Kanellis is the one who said, let's form a team. And there's still plenty of people left in the ring they could team up on. Stomps her hat. Flat. And what does Alicia Fox do? Does she attack her? Does she come in there and start beating her up for ruining her hat? No. She has a tantrum. Like a 3-year-old in the middle of the ring. And the women just, I guess, stop wrestling and say, oh, Alicia's having a nervous breakdown. This was terrible. Terrible. So there's a spot that was terrible. And another spot that I thought was terrible is, can one girl just come down and say, oh, well, the Iconics didn't come down at the same time. And didn't even bother to get in the ring at first. Just, oh, no, I'll just wait for Peyton. That you can do that? Well, then why would anybody get in the Rumble? Why would you do it? If you're number one, you can say, no, I'm going to sit right here at the announce table until 28 people are eliminated. What the hell kind of a rule is that? That doesn't even make any sense. So let me get this straight. Everybody who actually gets in the ring is an idiot because there's no need to get in the ring. So if you're Lacey Evans and you're number one, you're like, fuck number one. I'll just sit here at the announce table. And when number 30 is called, I'll wait till there's just one or two people in the ring, and then I'll slide in. I'll take my chances there. That, you can't have that. What the hell kind of a rule is that? Now, it didn't turn out that she did that, but apparently you're allowed to. What the hell kind of a rule is that? You know the reason they did it is because Lana couldn't get to the ring in that length of time. She would have been counted out, or if that was a rule, and they couldn't have that. But you could have made an exception for that. And again, there's some of this is appeasement. But Mike, let's just talk about those things in particular. Let's start with the Maria Kanellis thing. If that's not appeasement, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you're right. And those two are most likely gone, but we'll have to see. Because when was the last time we saw, you know, Mike Kanellis, you know, or Michael Bennett, or whatever you want to call him. You know,
yeah.
that's the thing, and, you know, and the other thing, and you know, it was terrible, but what I did enjoy was what's her name, since spending a lot of the match underneath the ring, Zelina Vega, you know,
yeah, I mean,
she actually got into the match, but that was a pretty crafty, smart move, you know.
But is it? Because then there's no rumble then. Then there's no rumble. There is no rumble if you don't have to get in the ring. If there's no length of time that you can spend on the outside of the ring, Seth Rollins spent 12 minutes later on. If there's no length of time that you can spend outside the ring, what the hell is the purpose of getting in the ring? You're a moron if you get in the ring and engage then. If they say all you got to do is make it to the ring, you slide in the ring, you slide out instantaneously. And you spend the rest of your time walking around the ring, waiting for other people to be eliminated. Why wouldn't you do that? What's your incentive to get in there and possibly get thrown out? You can't get thrown out if you're not in. It makes no sense. That rule has to change or the Royal Rumble looks absolutely ridiculous. And then you're going to say, well, Seth Rollins spent this much time in there. Yeah, well, 9 minutes of it, he's asleep. Didn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, look, the highlights of the women's thing, as far as I'm concerned, some of the NXT girls really lit it up, I thought. And then we get to the end. And I think the whole attitude of the end was that, well, we're going to get Charlotte Flair, obviously, as one of the last girls in the ring. We all knew that. But I don't think we suspected. I called Becky Lynch winning it, and so did many of us on this panel. But I don't think we thought she was going to enter this way. Now, the genius and the stupidity of this go hand in hand. The genius of it is Charlotte Flair now has an out. Because Charlotte Flair can say, I don't know how the hell you consider me a loser when she wasn't even scheduled to be in the match. How does she automatically get that late of a number just because she wants it? That's ludicrous. It's wrong, and it is ludicrous, and it is wrong. On the other hand, it makes the Royal Rumble look dumb. Because Lana just should, okay, you can't compete, then you're counted out. You're out of the Rumble. Nobody takes your place. You are that number. Why would somebody take your place? If you couldn't make it out, or you weren't even in the arena, then I could have them say, look, there's a late substitute like John Cena. But if you're halfway down the aisle, then just count her out or whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do. because there's no rules then. That this is just a free-for-all. I don't even know what the hell it is. If you can hide under the ring, and I don't know what the Hornswoggle thing was. I really don't. It was kind of stupid. They try to make the Royal Rumble, you know, have a little bit of comedy, a little bit of adventure, a little bit of drama, but I could have dealt without the hat nonsense, and I could have dealt without the Hornswoggle nonsense. And what I would have loved to seen, love to have seen, is for Lana to say, I cannot compete. The trainer says, I can't compete. Just go backstage. And maybe you could have had to just take 2 seconds out of your time, 2 seconds, to have Charlotte Flair or Nia Jax or somebody say, Lana, it's not like you were going to win anyway. It's not like anybody cared if you were going to compete. The fact you were in it was a joke. So boo-hoo, who cares? Then, when Lana says, so I guess, according to the rules, I can pass my number to somebody else, I'm going to pass it to Becky Lynch. Then all of a sudden, it's not funny anymore. That would have been cool. It would have put Lana over, too. Because Lana could have basically said to Anna, F you. Laugh at me, F you. But no. No, instead, it's just, well, I guess Becky Lynch can just, anybody could have walked out there then. And by the way, Becky Lynch lost, and she tapped out. So Becky Lynch ultimately wins. I think they did a pretty good thing with Nia Jax. I'll give her credit for that, that when Nia Jax is eliminated, she takes out Becky Lynch, and it appears as though Charlotte's going to win. And maybe we're going to get Nia Jax. And what I was thinking is maybe Nia Jax and Becky Lynch are going to have a feud over the fact that, well, she did break her face and take her out of her big match with Ronda Rousey, and now she's cost her the damn Royal Rumble, so they're going to have a blood feud. I thought that might happen. So it was a little bit of a surprise. I thought, well, maybe Charlotte's still going to pull this off, and Becky's going to be have a really bad Royal Rumble. But no, Becky pulls it off. And we're left with a situation where a girl who tapped out to Asuka is now going to fight Asuka again, or she's going to fight Ronda Rousey, who's better at tapping people out than Asuka. That's why this confuses me. And Mike, that's why I enjoyed it very much, and I thought it was a better Rumble than the men's Rumble. But I'm just a little confused with why they would have Becky Lynch tap out only to win the Rumble.
Right, and I do agree with you, but I do like that. I do like both of those spots they gave her, where she first one was Nia Jax cocks her fist back like she's going to punch her again, and then and I enjoyed watching. Obviously, they wanted her to sell that knee injury, of Becky Lynch. Obviously, I don't know if she's really injured or not, but she did a very good job selling that knee injury. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the Women's Royal Rumble was fine, except for a couple of spots. I enjoyed most of the people who came down. I thought everybody had a good run. Most people looked better for being in there. There were a few who didn't, but most people looked better. I'm confused about, I guess, the rules to the Royal Rumble, because it's almost like they're making them up on the fly. Well, we need Becky in it, and we want it to be a surprise, so anybody can substitute for anybody. Well, I don't like that rule. You can spend as much time as you want on the outside. Well, I don't like that rule, because then there's no reason to get in the ring. And then there's no reason for us to say, well, so-and-so is coming out number 30. And later on, we know what happens with Nia Jax. We'll get to it. But, I mean, okay, well, the Royal Rumble has no rules then. No rules. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, you can stretch the rules in pro wrestling, but it's good to have a good set of rules that fans understand, because the minute you don't understand the rules, it becomes like them old WCW matches where there's a million different rules. You got to go to this cage and escape that cage and then climb this and do that, and you're like, oh, I don't know, forget it. You should have 30 seconds from the time the your number hits to get in the ring. And if you're outside the ring, then a referee who's stationed outside the ring should count to 10. And if you don't get in by the count of 10, then you are out. Simple as that. What else can there be? Anyway, Todd, what was your overall thought of the Women's Royal Rumble?
It had some good spots in it. Like you said, it's the one spot I didn't care for when Alicia Fox threw a temper tantrum like a 2-year-old kid. Like, you good man.
Yeah, that really advances women's wrestling, doesn't it? We're all a bunch of little brats who throw hissy fits when our clothing is ruined. Anyway, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. This is the match I was most looking forward to. Nothing at all wrong with the match as far as the technical aspect of the match. AJ Styles is amazing, really. At his age, he's amazing. Really amazing. I mean, he's doing things that some better than some 20-year-olds. And his stamina is just, you know, it's off the charts. AJ Styles may be one of these people who, if he wants to, it can wrestle well into his 50s. He's a freak when it comes to that kind of stuff. He just, it's amazing, really. Daniel Bryan played a great character, I thought. His expressions are always awesome. Daniel Bryan is a very good actor. I've said that from day one. When he's a face, he's a heel, it doesn't matter. Daniel Bryan has the ability to sell what he wants you to feel in his facial expressions, his mannerisms, everything. The crowd was dead. Now, I don't know whether it's because this thing has been going on a long, long time. Or, you know, they just were all cheered out from the Women's Royal Rumble. It was in a bad placement. This match was in a bad placement. But the crowd was dead. And then we get to the finish. And Eric Rowan shows up, dressed as Daniel Bryan. And my first thought is, Eric Rowan is going to show up. And then a couple of minutes later, we're going to see Luke Harper show up. And then a couple of minutes later, we're going to see Bray Wyatt show up. And they're all going to attack both of these guys. And maybe the experiment with Daniel Bryan being this Echo Warrior thing is going to be over as being this extremist kook. And they're going to make him a little more fan-friendly. And we're going to have this Bray Wyatt say, save the planet. I'm the eater of worlds. You know, I don't care about the planet. And we're going to get that out of it. We're going to get the Wyatt family reunion here at the Royal Rumble, and they're going to ruin this title match. Nope. Instead, there goes the Wyatt family reunion, because apparently now Eric Rowan has went from a monster in a pig mask that looks like he's a Leatherface in a slaughterhouse to a guy who solves Rubik's Cubes in 10 seconds, and he's a genius, to a bludgeon brother, to an Echo Warrior. I guess that's what he's going to be now. They're going to have Daniel Bryan's little Echo Warriors. Save the planet. This reeks. And mostly it reeks because there goes the Wyatt family reunion. And he gets in there, destroys AJ Styles after Styles clearly wins with a Styles Clash. Daniel Bryan gets the win. Is it heat? I mean, I guess it's heat, but nobody wants to see this. I don't think anybody wants to see this. Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan. So what happened to the Bludgeon Brothers? What happened to Destroy? God, this is terrible. I mean, wow. If you were going to lend any credibility at all to Eric Rowan's character, you got to reunite him with the Wyatt family, or at least with Luke Harper and the Bludgeon Brothers. Luke Harper may not be able to wrestle right now, but Jesus Christ, he can show up. If he can show up to comedy clubs, he can show up at the Royal Rumble. Nope. All of a sudden, we're going to get Eric Rowan saying, save the planet. The planet is in danger. wow, am I disappointed. That's all I got to say. The ending of this match, Mike, was probably the most disappointed I have been in the ending of a match in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I would have been happy if he would have, and we've seen this before, but if he would have came out there dressed as him, as Daniel Bryan, but then again ended up carrying Bryan away, you know, like they did that one time with Kane, you know. At least that would have made sense, a little bit more sense, you know. This match was a 5-star match, except it got drugged down by the finish.
It got destroyed by the finish because killed the fans' interest for two reasons. Reason one, everyone was hoping for a Wyatt family reunion at some point, and the fans are all now saying, oh, man, if he goes with Daniel Bryan, there goes that. Number two, it didn't give him any kind of an ending. So now what are we going to get? AJ Styles going to get a tag team partner? I mean, it reeked. It reeked. If you had Eric Rowan just demolish both of them, it would have made more sense. No contest, and nobody knows what the hell he did it or why did he do it. Just nuts. That would have been better, because we would have all been saying, well, geez, something's up, and I don't know what the hell's up. And why would he target these two guys? No, now we're going to get this eco warrior thing, which is it's growing real, real thin. Really thin. And I don't like it. And all it means is that the Wyatt family's not going to have their reunion, and I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Bray Wyatt. And it just left a bad taste in my mouth. Let's just say that. Todd, I just don't see the benefit of adding Eric Rowan to a Daniel Bryan type wrestler.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't think we're going to probably see a Wyatt family reunion for a long, long, long time. You know, like you said, I don't think it's going to – it don't look right with Eric Rowan with Daniel Bryan there as his like bodyguard type.
See, the problem with this is you can't – I know they've done it with Kane. They've made Kane a corporate Kane, and then they made him the demon, and sometimes it works. But a guy like Eric Rowan, the way he looks, his size, his everything, there's only one thing to do with him. You've got to make him a big, mean, giant monster, and that's it. You don't need to make him a genius who solves Rubik's Cubes. You don't need to make him a Viking with a hammer. You don't need to make him an Echo Warrior who's, living in the forest on berries. You don't need any of that. By the way, Einsteins, if you are going to do that and give Daniel Bryan a group of people and you really want him to get under his skin, they all should look like hippies. They should all be a bunch of small guys, long-haired guys. Not some big, giant guy who you know eats a goddamn cow for breakfast. Yeah, that guy looks like a vegetarian. It's not going to work. It's already doomed. I'm telling you, it's already doomed. Anyway, let's get to the Men's Royal Rumble. Elias is number one, and I just throw my hands up in the air and say, what did Elias do? Did he piss on Vince McMahon's shoes? I mean, he can't do anything more to get over with the crowd, and they're just try any way they can to stop it, any way they can. So he's number one, so you automatically say, well, Elias is not winning anything. Not that we thought he was anyway, but it's almost like just writing you off. Number two is Jeff Jarrett. Now, again, this is pretty damn interesting. Jeff Jarrett Hall of Fame, one thing. Jeff Jarrett in the WWE ring again, wow. And he comes down in full double J mode. That was pretty cool. And I'll tell you, when I thought they were really honestly going to do a song, my first thought was, well, I don't know how they're going to do it because the Road Dogg was the guy who actually sang that song. but maybe Jeff can do it. I don't know. And then to have Elias just break the guitar, that's a heel move. That's a total heel move because they were over with the crowd. In fact, Elias said, look, the crowd all wants to hear it. They're all chanting, yes, 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 yes. So why would you, if you're a face, why would you deny the crowd what they want? It doesn't make, it made no sense. That spot made no sense. It's very, very self-destructive to Elias's push as a face. And it just doesn't make any sense. So right away, I'm aggravated with the Rumble because I'm like, well, here we go with not making any sense. Nothing needs to make any sense. And truthfully, from that point on, I wasn't too thrilled with this. I waited and waited for that big moment to come where you say somebody's going to come down here we least expect, and it really didn't happen. As a matter of fact, I found myself calling people long before I should be able to realize who's coming down next. I look in the ring and say, I bet you so-and-so's coming down next. Oh, look, it is him. Then when you get to like 27, you say, well, R-Truth is 30. We haven't seen Randy Orton yet. We haven't seen, you know, this Braun Strowman yet. There's only one guy that's gonna that could be a surprise. And, oh, that surprise is Dolph Ziggler. Because Dolph Ziggler's contract is up on the 31st of this month, and God forbid he doesn't re-sign and might go somewhere else, right? All of a sudden, Dolph Ziggler's going to be one of the last people in the Royal Rumble because we so appreciate his talent. Terrible. But let's get to the point that really aggravates me. R-Truth picks number 30, and Nia Jax attacks him. So let me get this perfectly straight. Nia Jax is mad she didn't win the Women's Royal Rumble, so she feels it'll be in my best interest to win the Men's Royal Rumble and challenge Brock Lesnar. I know we didn't get to the Brock Lesnar thing. I'm saving it for last. Believe me, there's a reason. Brock Lesnar, I'm going to challenge. Or maybe Daniel Bryan, but that doesn't make any sense. So, oh, I'm just going to win the Men's Royal Rumble and challenge Brock Lesnar. Yeah, that makes sense. You want to talk about stupid. Now it gets a pop because she finally does get nailed. She gets an RKO from Randy Orton. She gets a kick. She gets the 619. Okay, so you've now broken your rule. Male athletes can hit female athletes. So how come Shinsuke Nakamura didn't actually hit Lana? How come the Bludgeon Brothers didn't hit Naomi? See, this is what I mean about the WWE. It's so ridiculous, and the rules change on the fly depending. So now it's perfectly legal to attack a guy and take his number. That is a legal thing to do in the Royal Rumble. So why in the hell doesn't everybody do that then? And we know it's legal because she eliminated Mustafa Ali. So if she wasn't legal, they'd say, hey, Ali, you're still in it. She's an illegal entrant. By the way, Mustafa Ali eliminated Samoa Joe exactly like I said he would. Extraordinarily predictable Royal Rumble. Extraordinarily predictable Men's Royal Rumble. And Seth Rollins laying on the outside of that damn ring for 14 minutes doesn't make me feel like, oh, he did an extraordinary job of staying in there so long. What great stamina and whatever he has. Took a 15-minute nap. Unbelievable. So overall, I'm not real thrilled, Mike, with the Men's Rumble. I thought the Men's Rumble had a lot of parts in it that were clusterfucks. Yeah, they had Aleister Black in there. Yes, you had Johnny Gargano in there. And to show you how much they think of Dean Ambrose, Aleister Black just tosses Dean Ambrose out like he's garbage. So Dean Ambrose has no future here.
Yeah, right. And look, I'm surprised that Zack Ryder wasn't in there because they made a big deal of those two guys getting back together. It would have been nice to see him and what's his name at least toss somebody out, you know, at some point. And look, what ruined it for me is when Braun Strowman was the last entrant, I'm saying, okay, and I fully knew that they wanted Seth Rollins to win, but they had a tailor-made storyline right there for him. Braun Strowman wins, and he gets back at Vince McMahon for taking his opportunity away. There's your storyline.
There's a plenty of storylines that could have came out of this. The only storylines I see that come out of this that could develop is Samoa Joe and maybe Mustafa Ali not being finished with their feud. I don't see anything else coming out of this. I really don't. I just don't know what the hell is going on with the WWE, but what it looks like to me, and by the way, their NXT stars came in there and outshined the WWE stars. When you have a guy like Aleister Black in there destroying people, how do you think that makes Dean Ambrose and all the other people look? Pete Dunne. But, you know, and Johnny Gargano is a great wrestler. Don't get me wrong. All these guys are great wrestlers, but then you have to pick your time. And right now isn't the time for these guys. You want to have Pete Dunne in there, fine, because he's representing, he's the UK champ. But if you have time to get Aleister Black in there, why wasn't Velveteen Dream in there? Or why wasn't a couple of other people in there? It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, they did do a good job at the end of making you think that maybe Braun Strowman would win, because those are the only two guys that could win. And when Braun was hanging on and he managed to survive what looked like was definitely going to be his elimination, I thought for a second, well, maybe they will let Braun win. Stomp sends him down and out, and Seth Rollins is now going on, I'm sure, to fight Brock Lesnar. And the reason I'm sure is because the Brock Lesnar Finn Balor match went exactly the way I told you. I may as well have booked it. I told you that Brock Lesnar will sell the hell out of Finn Balor for the first 6 or 7 minutes, and then he's just going to get a hold of him, and it's over. And then he's going to continue to beat on him afterwards to sell the fact that he's a heel, and he's not going to take any crap from little guys. But there's a reason for this. There's fans that are upset today saying Finn Balor was made to look like a wuss. Well, but there's a reason. Why did Finn Balor tap out, and why am I not unhappy with that when I'm unhappy with Becky Lynch? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the story that comes out of this is, if you're not a monster, if you're not the size of Brock Lesnar or bigger, you might be able to run him for a while, but when he gets a hold of you, it's over. No matter who you are, when he gets a hold of you, it's over. Finn Balor didn't struggle to submit. He didn't try to get to the ropes. He just, I'm done. And he was told to do that. And the reason he was told to do that, as soon as that happens, you pretty much know Seth Rollins is winning the Rumble. Because that was set up for a smaller guy to fight Brock Lesnar next. Because now Paul Heyman can say, we have already seen what happens when a smaller guy attempts to fight Brock Lesnar. Oh, you might be able to run him for a little while. You might be able to avoid him for a little while. You might even be able to hurt him a little bit. But when he gets a hold of you, it's over. You can't run forever. You can't hit and run forever, and eventually this monster is going to get a hold of you. And when he does, you're done. That makes Seth Rollins the underdog, because people are going to say, look what happened to Finn Balor. He was doing good for a while too, but then it's the second that Brock Lesnar got a hold of him, lights out, it's over. So there is a reason why they had to play it that way. That's the story they're trying to tell. And the rub is going to Seth Rollins, who's now going to have to deal with that and try to do what Finn Balor couldn't do. So there is a reason, and there's a logical reason, Mike, so I'm not against the Finn Balor tap out.
I'm not against it either, and that's the thing. Now, granted, you know, I would have liked to have seen it go a little bit longer, but, you know, it's Finn Balor. Now, you look, you know, Finn Balor's what, 180 pounds soaking wet. Whereas what's his name? Whereas Seth Rollins was what? 210, 215. So that's 20 more pounds. So he could put a little bit more behind. You could buy a sling blade from Seth Rollins doing something to Brock Lesnar more than you can buy doing to him from Finn Balor, because he's bigger. He's bigger than Finn Balor, you know, more weight behind that move. So that move in that match would make a lot more sense because he, like I said, more weight, can do it. And at least you look at Finn Balor and his height-wise versus, he's bigger weight-wise, but he's not too much smaller than Brock Lesnar's, 6'3", maybe? And
I think
Finn
he's
Balor's
just like 6'1",
5'8", 5'9".
I think Lesnar's not that tall. I think Lesnar's 6'1", or 2",
Yeah, so he's not that tall, but he's, 290?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like 280. Yeah, so, look, the body weight alone, when Finn got caught, I said, if he makes it to the ropes, if he drags Brock Lesnar's body weight, a UFC champion who is used to the ground game and has had people like Heath Herring, who's heavier than Brock Lesnar and a foot taller, say, when that guy gets on you, it's like a Mack truck is parked on you. You can't let him get you to the ground or you're done. That's what Heath Herring said about Lesnar in the UFC. If Finn Balor drags his carcass to the ropes and breaks this, I'm done. Luckily, he didn't. And there's no big shame in tapping out to Brock Lesnar. That's Brock Lesnar. If anything, I think the match was pretty cleverly put together, because what it looked like is Brock Lesnar accidentally got hurt. The corner of the table hit him in the gut twice and did some kind of damage to him where Brock Lesnar was not able to breathe well and he was not able to use his strength as much to an advantage. It wasn't anything Finn Balor did on purpose. It wasn't Finn Balor's sling blade finished him off. Finn Balor's stomp was more than he could take. It wasn't any of that. It was Finn Balor's quickness caused Brock Lesnar to make a mistake, and he accidentally got hurt. And Lesnar is now struggling to overcome that injury that he accidentally suffered, and Finn Balor's quickness has given him trouble. That's actually a pretty good way to book this match. And then eventually Brock Lesnar catches up to him, and when he does, the ending is exactly as we figure. There's no way Finn Balor can handle it. Does it hurt Finn Balor that much? I don't think so. I don't see how. Now we know why the demon didn't come out, though, don't we? Finn Balor wants to protect that. But again, illogical, much like the Royal Rumble rules. If this is the biggest match of Finn Balor's career and he needs that extra boost against a man who is basically twice his size and almost unbeaten, why wouldn't you pick that time to bring out the demon? But you will bring it out for Baron Corbin. That's the problem. Logic. Logic becomes a problem sometimes. Now, Derek is saying that Aleister Black's spot was Lars Sullivan's spot. That's not true. I don't know where you heard that, but that's not true. I'm not 100% sure Lars Sullivan was even going to be in the Rumble, but if he was, he certainly would have had Braun Strowman's spot. Since Strowman wasn't going to win anyway, there was no reason for Braun Strowman to look weak in losing. So they would have had Braun Strowman out of the Rumble and just eager to get his hands on Brock Lesnar, but he couldn't do it because Vince wouldn't let him even be in the Rumble. Lars Sullivan would have been that guy in that ring with Seth Rollins, so it would have looked like, wow, Lars Sullivan is a big dude, and apparently Seth Rollins can handle a big dude, so maybe he can handle Brock Lesnar. That would have been his spot. Aleister Black proved one thing, and that is, man, he looks small compared to some of these other WWE guys. He looks small. He looked quick. Has some devastating moves, but he looks small. And the problem is, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I think if you're going to have a gimmick, like Finn Balor, for instance, if you're going to have a gimmick that you have this demon thing, it would be better if you were big and not a tiny guy, because nobody's afraid of a tiny demon. Kane, you know, is a demon. You're like, well, shit, man, that guy's huge. The Undertaker has that demonic whatever, and you're like, man, that guy's huge. Aleister Black, you know, last night they made that clever comment of, well, he's a left-hand, he follows the left-hand path. That's Satanism. So that's what they were alluding to, that Aleister Black's a Satanist. His name obviously comes from Aleister Crowley. And they're alluding to the fact that, you know, he's a Satanist. He's also 5'9", or 5'10". You know, he doesn't have that big foreboding, my God, he looks like a monster from the depths of hell. No, he just looks like some dude. So sometimes I think it's a bad mistake to give characters who are smaller images that are should be left for bigger guys. You want to make him some kind of a kickboxing wizard. That sounds right for Aleister Black, because that's what he does. But I don't know what the dark side Satanist thing has to do with it, because he's not menacing. He's not this menacing figure that you're like, damn, if he shows up, people are like, shit. And it's never going to be that way. Unlike The Undertaker, unlike Kane, you know, who you can pull that gimmick with. So overall, what was the Rumble? Well, A, it was too long. B, the women stole the show. No matter how you look at this, you could look at this any way you want. The women stole the show. Becky Lynch and Asuka, excellent match. In my opinion, match of the night. Not far behind it, Sasha Banks and Ronda Rousey. The women's Royal Rumble, definitely superior to the men's Royal Rumble. Definitely superior to the men's Royal Rumble. Because the men's Royal Rumble was so predictable, it was ridiculous. And the AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan match was a great match with a terrible, lousy ending with a storyline that nobody wants to see. And the fans not being into it because they were either tired or they were all cheered out from the Women's Royal Rumble or whatever the hell it happened to be, did not add to the ambiance of this match. Things are happening. You hear crickets in the audience. On the pre-show, you're actually hearing people chant AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, and I thought, man, they're going to have some wicked noise for their match. But the WWE managed to pound it all at them, and by the time they got into that ring, fans were like, whatever, I'm too tired to cheer. And then they really got the wind taken out of their sails when Eric Rowan shows up and everybody's like, oh, man. So no KO, no Bray Wyatt. Some people even thought Lars Sullivan might show. No Lars Sullivan, no Velveteen Dream, which some people were looking forward to. And the bottom line is, the guest didn't feel so special. Double J was the only one that I was like, whoa, what's that all about? I knew he wasn't winning, but at least it was fun. The rest of them, Gargano, who cares? Aleister Black, who cares? It's not the way you want them to make their debut anyway, and none of them are making their debut. They're all going back to NXT. So what does that show? I'm in NXT, but I want to come here and maybe win and I can get out of NXT. Because I hate it in NXT. Why would an NXT guy do that? I just won the title, but I want out. I'm the North American champion, but if I win, I'm out. Why would you do that? It almost like oh, this title is shit. That's what it makes it feel like. I don't like it. What's Pete Dunne supposed to do? I win and I forfeit the UK belt. It means nothing. What? These are the guys who should say, no, my championship means more to me than this, you know, right now. I'm the champion. That's all that counts. I don't want somebody else's championship. I'm thinking about keeping mine. No, you got the champions in there like, oh, well, my championship ain't shit compared to this. I don't like it. Never did, and I never will. Mike, what's your thoughts about the Men's Royal Rumble in general?
Crap, you know. I mean, I said it before. The storyline should have been, and if they if they had him win, the storyline would have been, well, you tried to take my championship opportunity away from me. Well, screw you, I got it back. That should have been the storyline. Yeah, they wanted him to win, but that should have been the other storyline. Should have been that storyline. It was crap, and we all know that it was crap. Where was Zack Ryder? You know, that type of thing. Yeah, I don't want to call him Tommy in, but Aleister Black looks small. Yes, yes, yes. Why are you screwing up with our friend there, Mr. Elias? You know, that type of stuff. So that's, and again, you look at the women's matches that took place this whole weekend. I'm not just here in NXT and at TakeOver. That championship match at TakeOver was an incredible match. These two championship matches were incredible, incredible matches. Basically, this was a women's weekend.
It was. But I just have one question. If Lacey Evans can be in the Rumble, and Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black and people on the NXT roster, where the hell was EC3? Okay, Lars Sullivan's not in there because of his issues. Where the hell's EC3? You mean to tell me that guy doesn't want to be in the Rumble, but the North American champion does after he just won the belt? He can't wait to get rid of it. See, that's where the problem comes with the WWE. The WWE is now treating the Rumble more as a showcase, where they say, we're going to showcase some talent. Half of these guys really wouldn't want to be the guy who wins because they got their own belts to defend. They've got their own feuds to go to. They've got their own federations. But we're just showcasing them because they're our talent. Yeah, but this match is supposed to be about wanting desperately to be the WWE champion or the Universal champion. That's what this match is supposed to be about. And if that's what this match is supposed to be about and nothing else, then NXT champions and UK champions shouldn't be in it. Jesus, EC3 certainly should be in it. Why wouldn't he want to be in it? Why was Bobby Lashley in it? He's the Intercontinental Champion. What the hell is he out there for? Oh, the belt don't mean anything to me. I want to be double champion. That doesn't make any sense. I like it better when the champions are just like, no, I like my belt. I want my belt to be the top belt. Not, oh, chance at a better belt? Because it makes your belt look like garbage and even you think it's garbage. I don't like it. Same way with tag teams. Oh, if I win, I guess I'm just splitting my tag team up then, huh? At least the WWE didn't do that this year. Because I hate when they do that. Tag teams are in it, and you're like, oh, okay, well, guess what? If I win, I'm no longer in a tag team. I'm going for a belt. What? The Royal Rumble's got to get back on track a little bit. And we got a major problem, folks. We're going to address this on a different show, but the major problem is if you're going to treat the women equally, you have now just doubled the amount of time every pay-per-view has to have because you are going to have the tag team championship soon. You're going to have both women's belts soon. You got to have a women's Royal Rumble if you have a men's. You got to have a women's Elimination Chamber if you have a men's. It doubles the amount of matches, and it takes away other spots. So if that's what you're going to do, it might be time to seriously think about having women's show and have all women's pay-per-view, not just once a year, but, you know, at least four times a year. At least four times a year. So you don't have to double up every man's pay-per-view. You don't have to have an Elimination Chamber match with women because you got one with men. You don't have to have a Royal Rumble with women because you got one with men. Theirs can be held at a different time because this is why the shows are 5 hours now, and it's going to go longer because if you're going to feature every – what are you going to have, women's tag team champions, and then what? You're going to have women on Raw and SmackDown have tag team champions or just they can fly between both? I guess they can fly between both, but it's still one more belt to defend. So let's take it as it goes. You've got two male tag team champions. You've got Intercontinental. You've got U.S. You've got 205 Live. You've got Universal. And you've got the WWE champion. That is seven champions. Now you've got the women's champion on both ends, nine, and you're going to have – you got 10 championships. That's 10 matches. It's too many. Time to give the women their own show if that's where they're going to go, Mike, so these events don't have to be 7 hours long.
And look, frankly, if they'd taken our advice and come up with a women's Intercontinental belt or women's U.S. belt, that'd have been another championship that they would have had to defend. You know, yeah, we'd like to see that. We'd like to see I don't want to say a lesser belt, but basically that for the women, so that they can have we can see other people get a chance to hold a belt that's not a world championship. But yeah, you're right. They need to do this. But other than that, look, this is in my mind, I'm going to go ahead and give this with all its problems, I'm going to go ahead and give this a B.
Yeah, this is hard to judge. The reason it's hard to give a rating to at all is because the Rumbles, it's hard to judge a Rumble. There are parts of the Rumble you're like, that was excellent. And then there's parts you're like, well, that was terrible. And so much is going on, it's hard to judge either Rumble match. So what I will say is this. I didn't have a problem with any of the performances in any of the regular matches. I thought they were all great. But the booking was weird. Some of the endings were terrible. And the Rumble, the men's was extraordinarily predictable and a bit boring. The women's was better, but had some spots that were just terrible mixed in with it. Oh, EC3, people are saying, EC3 isn't ready. Well, if he's not ready, then fire him. Let him go. Because this is a guy who was the Impact champion for 100 years. He was the only guy that was in the title picture over there. If that guy's not ready, why did you sign him at all? A, he's a terrible – I agree with Maniac when he's not a good wrestler. I don't like his shtick. I think he's boring in the ring. I think he's clumsy. But if you're ever going to put him anywhere, it's not NXT because he don't belong in NXT. His style is nowhere close to NXT. Nowhere close to it. He's a main roster guy if that's what you're going to do because he wants four-minute matches. 4 6-minute matches, that's it. He can go longer, but they're boring. So 4 to 6 minutes is how long you can stomach him. So you got to bring him up on the main roster. You got to. Because he's going to die in NXT, because NXT fans don't want no part of that type of style that he has. No part of it. Not when they're seeing Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano and Ricochet and all those people. They don't want to see no EC3. So EC3 was bred to be on this main Raw roster. They got the right spot for EC3. If he's not ready to go do that, you got to let him go then, because then he's not ready at all. He's had 9 years, 10, 12 years in this business. If he's not ready now, he's never going to be ready. Because, he's not 20. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. So you got to have him go out there and do the best he can. And if he flubs and flops, then he flubs and flops. Personally, I never would have signed him. But if you are going to sign him, he's got to come up to the main roster. Never should have been in NXT to begin with. Total mistake, because all it did was undermine the fact that he's really just not that good of a wrestler. He's more of a gimmick and a character. And that's a Raw thing. If you're a gimmick and a character, you belong on Raw. And that's where he belongs. But, if he's not ready for that, he's not ready for anything. Todd, what's your thoughts on the Rumble in general? What's your grade?
I'm going to give it a B. Like I said, it's hard to judge.
It's really tough to judge. Let me say this. Women's wrestling has actually arrived. What we saw on that Rumble was I was much more excited for these women's matches and much more on the edge of my seat for these women's matches than any of the men's matches. So women's wrestling has actually arrived. It's no more a myth. It's no more of, it's still a little ways off. No, it's here. because last night they outshined all the guys. And Becky Lynch can put on that type of a match, and Asuka can put on that type of a match, and Ronda Rousey and Sasha can put on that type of match. They deserve to be the main event of WrestleMania because they're better. They're doing better. As far as Brock Lesnar is concerned, you got to get the belt off him, and you got to get the belt off him immediately. As far as the Daniel Bryan thing is concerned, if you want to drive fans in droves away from SmackDown, you keep doing this then. You keep having them build an army of these little Echo Warriors, and people are going to be like, I do not want to watch this. Especially if it's Eric Rowan, who you could just see at a buffet grabbing steak and prime rib like it was M&M's. If you want to make a bunch of emaciated or hippie-type commune guys that follow Daniel Bryan around saying, yeah, man, you're right, then that works for me. Not some big, meat-eating monster like Eric Rowan, who obviously is going to have to now go with this thing of save the planet, man. It's not going to work. It's stupid. And Maniac's right. The men have taken a step backwards in the last several months. And the reason is some of these guys aren't hungry anymore. Some of these guys are mailing it. And I will tell you one thing. If there's any people that I am thinking we may see less of in the WWE in the very near future, Dean Ambrose is on my list, who did nothing in this Rumble, didn't eliminate one person, got thrown out by Aleister Black. I don't think he eliminated anybody. And Zack Ryder, who wasn't even in it at all. That must be Zack Ryder's punishment for talking to Cody Rhodes on Twitter, I guess. Everybody else seemed to get appeased, and maybe Dolph Ziggler will fall for this and say, oh, they're going to use me again, like they do every time his contract comes up. Or maybe he'll be smart and say, yeah, the minute I sign that contract, I'm back to Palookaville, which is really what will happen. I don't think, to be honest with you, Drew McIntyre was made to look too awesome. Alexa Bliss was wasted in the women's Royal Rumble. I should have said that. She got a huge ovation, and fans were visibly and audibly disappointed when she was thrown out. You heard everybody just kind of groan and be like, oh, man, she should have been one of the last people left. If not the next to the last, she really should have been. We'll see where that takes us. I don't know. Monday Night Raw should be very interesting tonight, and we will see a lot more about where this road to WrestleMania is heading. A little birdie tells me all may not be well with the championship picture. We may see a change anyway. We may actually see a change in that before WrestleMania. John Cena. We'll see you tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.